Our consciousness is like a radio broadcasting station. Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you what is the road to take. I will give you counsel, O humble soul. In this lecture, we will study the effects and reactions of thought upon mind, body, and beyond. It is difficult sometimes for us to realize that all we see is effects, and the cause is within ourselves. The difficulty, of course, of realizing and understanding this is because you are caught up in these effects. And naturally, when one is caught up in these effects, the consciousness is caught up in it also and is reflecting continuously what it sees and feels from the relative world, therefore intensifying the conditions. If the consciousness can withdraw itself from the relative, from the senses, whereby the senses report no longer any vibrations whatsoever that's coming from the outside, the consciousness would be free to think and create without any conditioning which comes from the external or the internal. The consciousness would become free. Now let us see what this consciousness would mean to you or me. The consciousness, like point, has the totality of all force behind it. The force expressed is in exact proportion to the state of consciousness. Therefore, the thought is also according to the state of consciousness, starting its powerful circuit in ever-widening circles in mind to express itself in the remotest cell of the body and beyond. Here we see a power. Consciousness is a power because it's a radio broadcasting station. It radios out of what it has reflected in itself. That is to say, whatever the image the mind creates, before it becomes what we call a reality in the relative, the consciousness must become aware of it and reflect it. Otherwise, it is no longer even a relative thing, or what we call a relative reality. What I mean by a relative reality, it is an effect, but it's real to the consciousness. And when the consciousness is caught up in it, then the consciousness begins to express it continuously and radioing out continues these electromagnetic waves which pass through the mind, body, and beyond. The consciousness is like a broadcasting radio station sending impulses of thought according to the idea in all directions, firstly affecting the sender. These impulses circulate through the brain, through the nervous system, and nerve plexus, affecting the heart, glands, lungs, vasomotor system, and other organs and systems of the body, thus registering its effects there, then rushing out into the atmosphere on its faithful and active mission. Thought power is something that has got to be dealt with and understood, and it has got to be deserved. All the conditions and conditioning of yourself means that you have conditioned your consciousness, and the consciousness begins to reflect that conditioning means that it's continually radiating out these electromagnetic waves through the body, the nervous system, and out beyond. Therefore, thought force is a force that has got to be dealt with and understood. if it is haphazardly expressed from reactions and conditions external to the self, and you are caught up in this conditioning, then you see that the consciousness begins to reflect and radio out what it reflects, because it is the creative principle. It is the only power there is. The consciousness in man can mean none other than the consciousness of God, although the consciousness of man does not realize this, because it's caught up in the relative, in the self, in separation. It's caught up in you, it's caught up in me, me and the mind, me and not me, the mind and the not mind. All the opposites, it's caught up in these opposites, consequently it is in the world of confusion. Now, withdraw the consciousness from all the senses, from the centers of the brain, so that it is no longer affected by the body. Our senses of hearing, seeing, or touching anything that is relative, the consciousness becomes free from all these vibrations. It is no longer conditioned. And in that unconditioned state, it reveals love and wisdom that is eternal and always is. Immediately it becomes conditioned in the relative, it begins to express what the relative is and what the relative wants it to express. Therefore it's caught up in the relative things and is no longer free. The master is able to silence the outside world, the world of the senses, so that no relative vibration can enter into the consciousness. That is the state of the infinite consciousness, because it's not affected by any relative thing. And it being complete and perfect in itself, its foundation must be eternally love and wisdom. Man is more than is seen in the physical. He is a center of consciousness in a sea of energy, giving expression to the form from out of the sea of energy according to the idea he holds. His thought waves carry the vibration of the idea into manifestation. Thus a thought wave of fear, caused by ignorance and confusion of mind, sweeps through the billions of cells in his body, disrupting their natural rhythm. This natural rhythm is the expression of the Creator who created man as an instrument for his own self-expression. There is a natural rhythm within man that is not affected by anything external to man, because it is the infinite creation. It is this, man made in God's likeness. Also, that man has been given power to create, because he has been made in the likeness of God, having dominion over all things in heaven and on earth. Therefore, according to his consciousness, so will his thought be. If your consciousness is caught up in all these things external to yourselves, all in confusion, then your thoughts will be exactly the same. According to your state of consciousness, so is your thought. You will see how to overcome or to dissolve this conditioning so that the consciousness can be free. When man accepts an outside authority, he begins to fear, and confusion is the result. The mind then expresses this confusion with devastating effects, causing abnormal functions which create poisons and chaos in the various physical organisms. When there is a wave of love and joy caused by the recognition of the truth of the perfect state of the divine consciousness behind human consciousness, there is a release of energy through that center of consciousness in man, harmonizing the mind and body. This delightful effect sweeps through the cells, establishing the natural rhythm. There, relaxation, comfort, and joy throughout the whole body and mind. Why is that? How does that come about? How can you ever know, then, this joy, if your mind is caught up in sorrow and fear? But when you discern that your mind is caught up in sorrow and fear, and you know by what means it is caught up, then you can discern these things and they no longer exist. You see that you are the creator of them. And once you discern that you are the creator of your own conditioning, through your reactions to conditions external to yourself, through your beliefs, through your fears, through the things you have in your mind. Because what you have in your mind is not a reality. It is an idea of reality, a belief of reality. It is not a real thing at all. It's an image of that thing. Therefore, you fear the image you create within your own mind. But when you realize that you only fear the image you have created in your own mind, there is no longer any fear. Therefore, if all that is false then is dissolved away, what is left is reality, is truth, not an idea of truth, not a belief of truth, but a living expression of the truth, I am. The developed man is soon aware of the effect of a wave of anger or aggressiveness, for he feels it in his body immediately. Thus discerning it, he dissolves it. The ignorant man does not so recognize what is taking place, with the result that continual waves of anger and aggressive thoughts very soon disrupt his organism, so he falls by his own ignorance. While love thought waves create attraction and affection, hateful thought creates the reverse. Since every thought wave creates a different motion in the atoms and cells of the body, the facial muscles reveal the expression of our thought waves. Beat of the heart and the breathing reveal a change in the functional organism. Every different thought has a different wavelength and variation and is accordingly expressed, the cause and effect being one. The cause and the effect are one. There is no separation between the cause and effect. How can there be when they are the one thing? You can't have an effect without a cause. And you see, without having a cause, there is no effect. But if you then recognize the effect and how it comes about, you will see that the self is the cause. Therefore, discern the self. Know what the self is doing. What the motives of the self is, what the desires of the self is, what the fears of the self is, how the self is caught up in this and that. The conscious mind is capable of interpretation of form. Hence, it is capable of the transformation of form as the perfect creation. The form only changing into greater splendor to reveal the perfection of the idea. Therefore, vibration is the keynote of creation and the rhythmic organization of atoms into particular patterns. What we are seeing now is this, that the same mode of action that exists in the infinite exists in man. But as the infinite is free and perfect, and is not affected by any external things, his consciousness is free and not conditioned. Therefore, his creations are pure and perfect. The very ether, or the substance of matter, moulds according to the idea. The etherons form in the invisible, which is the basis of the form to become visible. And nature is seen before your eyes. This very form that you see now before you has been created in the infinite mind, otherwise it could not exist at all. It was created in the infinite mind from the very beginning, because the beginning and the end are one. That creative principle exists eternally. It wasn't yesterday or tomorrow. If I do not know that I am immortal now, at this very moment, I will never know immortality tomorrow, for the simple reason that tomorrow never comes. If I am not aware of my immortality now, I shall never know my immortality. Because immortality exists now. Life exists now. Not yesterday and tomorrow, exists in the mind only as an idea of life, a memory and a hope. But life now is that living presence that is eternal. But it existed from the beginning. The beginning and the end are one, and the now is also one. There is no separation. I was in the beginning, before the earth was, I existed. If I didn't, I couldn't be immortal. But I know that I am immortal. And I know that I am life. And life cannot be divided, it cannot be separated, tomorrow or yesterday. So I am the same life that existed before the world was, and I will be the same life that exists after the world has passed away, because of the fact that life is eternal and ever-present. Therefore, creation is the releasing of an intelligent energy, the knowing how, to combine the ether atoms with their particular combinations to form the pattern held in the divine mind. This intelligent force, knowing how, induces magnetic attraction and cohesion, which binds the ether atoms as the basis of the form to be manifested in the realm of physical atoms, which produce condensation and materialization of atoms to be seen by the physical eye. When an electromagnetic wave exists in the ether, it exists at the rate of 186,000 miles per second, that is velocity. A thought is an invisible thing. But it is an actual existing thing, because it has turned what we call etherons into activity. It has brought into action certain portion of the ether to form according to the idea. Thought is an intelligent action that has within itself the power to create the form according to the definition of the idea. Therefore, that is why I've told you before that limp thinking is of no value to you or anyone else. But when the thought is properly defined, it has an intelligent action to affect the ether in such a way that it produces the image. In a higher state of form, such is in ether, invisible to the physical eye, and what is it that condenses it down to the visible thing? Sound, of course. Sound brings that thought into the manifestation so that you can hear it. The thought that I have in my mind, if I held it completely still, your sixth sense, the consciousness, would catch it. But it might not catch it because you are not capable of recognizing or using this sixth sense to catch the vibrations that exist in the ether. But you can recognize my voice and the words I express. Therefore, I have reduced the thought to sound, which travels at the rate of 700 miles an hour, which makes it physical so that you can hear it through your physical ears. The same mode of action exists in the universe from the beginning, because the Word was with God, and the God said. God brought into operation through the condensation of his own existing self and produces you and me in the physical form. I will have more to say about this further on in the course. The powerful force we call thought is little understood and is allowed to run rampant by millions of people all over the world. It will therefore be seen that this force can be used as a constructive agent, the great servant of mankind, or it can be used to destroy man through his ignorance of its power. It will maintain health and strength in mind and body, also having inexhaustible magnetic attraction, inherent intelligence. It can be used for higher purposes, for greater accomplishments that will stagger the imagination. By the same creative power, man, as he raises his consciousness into a higher realm of being, he will be able to create through his thoughts great things for humanity. He will manifest by his own thought, by his creative principle, things that will help humanity, that will bring humanity out of its present state into a higher state of understanding. Not only from understanding, but a higher elevation of activity, where he exists in that higher level of consciousness, which produces greater and greater things that the mind at the present has not yet even thought of. We have radio, we have wireless, we are now going to have airplanes that will fly across from Africa to the continent in about 16 hours. We'll be flying across from the continent to America in about 8 hours. We'll be doing all these things. Great ships are being built now to fly across the skies. As time goes on, we will see that 8 hours becomes almost 8 minutes. The consciousness of man is becoming more and more like the infinite consciousness itself, using all the attributes of that consciousness to create the instruments exactly that is within man himself. If man knew that he could, by a process of breathing, for instance, lighten his body to such an extent that the gravity could no longer exist, he would travel through space at the speed of light. His thoughts travel through space at the speed of light, but he would be able to do almost the same thing, because there would be nothing to prevent him. Here is within man the great secrets, but man has not yet found them out. He is gradually expressing them on the relative side. He's gradually creating them on the outside, and there is nothing that can be created external to man that man has not within himself. And there isn't a thought that can be expressed that can be limited. There is no thought that can be expressed that is not possible. Now, think that out, and you will see how true it is. But why is it not possible? Because you are conditioned with the relative. You're conditioned with everything that you see and your experiences of the past. You think that because certain things happened in the past, it can't happen in the future. And because you think that things haven't been done before, they will never be done. They haven't been accomplished, so consequently they'll never be accomplished. But we see perfectly clear that that is a falsehood, that things are being accomplished every day. And during the next 500 years, we will see a tremendous advancement of human nature. We won't see it in this physical body, but we will probably witness it from another stage. Watching an etheric world coming into operation, where man becomes aware of the etheric capacities that he has within his body made of ether. And by using some form of breathing where his body becomes light, his mind can use that body as it would a thought. Therefore, man will do the very things that he's doing now externally. I'm only bringing into operation the things that I do know. I've seen these things by great men who understand laws of nature. And they say that they are just on the brink, only on the threshold of greater and greater things to come. As Jesus said, "These things I do, greater things shall you do." On the one hand, we see the effects of the constructive action of thought. On the other hand, we see its destructive action in the whole human family. Not only does it affect the body and the immediate surroundings of the individual, but these vibrations are inherent in the seed of man and woman. Hence, the hereditary nature of man changes according to the thought he expresses from the ideas he holds in his mind. If his idea is in accordance with the divine law of love, love your neighbor as yourself, man's heirs will manifest a greater expression of the divine nature that created man by the word that was in the beginning, the Christ of God behind and within all humanity. As man's consciousness rises out of the conditioning in which he himself has created around, he will recognize greater and greater possibilities. And naturally, those who follow become greater and greater because of the enlightened consciousness of man himself. So he produces. The reaction of thought is registered as impressions upon the subconscious activity through the nervous system, affecting the generating cells and glands and all the cells of the body. Thought impulses travel in ever-widening circles, affecting the whole realm of mankind. It churns into motion all the atoms and cells of the body, with consequent transformation of the cells, and reaction is in exact proportion to the nature of the cause of the thought. You are continually changing the conditions of your body, changing the cells of your body by the thoughts you engender. Supposing now that you saw all those thoughts and discerned them and saw how false they were, that they were in your mind, that your consciousness were no longer caught up in them to reflect them and radio out these vibrations, they would no longer exist. And what would happen? They would fall away. And what would take place? That which is eternal would remain. That which is love and wisdom would remain. And that would express itself, because it would be no longer hindered by man's consciousness. While the change in this rate of vibration takes place in the body, it reflects its activity upon the consciousness, upsetting the equilibrium of the consciousness. adding further fuel to the fire already kindled through man's ignorance of his thought actions and his true natural state. So therefore what happens is this. After the conditioning has been done, and after the thought has passed through the body and transformed the cells into these particular forms, which you begin to fear, then, while the change of vibration takes place in the body, it reflects its activity upon the consciousness, upsetting the equilibrium of the consciousness, adding further fuel to the fire, because the consciousness is caught up in the conditioning and further conditioning created by yourselves. How are you going to get out of this condition? That is the point. That is the thing that interests us most. It's a very simple process. We'll come to it shortly. Man is influenced by conditions which surround his consciousness. His consciousness reacts to these conditions when he fails to recognize himself as he really is, a creator given power to create above and below. Thus man's consciousness permeates the whole of his body, yet having its roots in reality, or the subconscious, the totality of all unconditioned consciousness and intelligent energy. The superconscient is a word that I have coined for the purpose of letting you see that which is above, all above, that is not affected by anything that is below. But this that is always above is affecting that which is below. If the consciousness, then, which is superconscious, and is immersed in what we call the subconscient, all that exists below, but they are one. There is only one mind in the whole universe. What I'm going to show you now is going to make an idea in your mind. You're going to have an idea of what I'm saying into your mind, and you're going to carry away this idea. But this idea is not the truth of what I'm saying. If you carry away just an idea of what I'm showing you, and you say that is the truth, it is not the truth at all. But an idea is not the truth. The idea of what I'm showing you here is not the truth. But it will reveal the truth to you in yourselves, and you'll begin to understand. Now supposing then we will say, this is the infinite mind, this board, which is a very poor illustration, because the infinite mind is infinite and there's nothing outside it. All within it. It fills boundless space. And there can be nothing outside it, otherwise it could not be infinite. We will see the infinite mind has drawn a line within itself, and it says this way, the consciousness which is supreme exists always there and is influencing everything down below. The consciousness remains complete. It has, then, its effect upon these influences that move downwardly in its creations. It begins to create in the higher levels. First of all, it has the principles of love and wisdom. Love and wisdom, then, is the creation of the infinite, which is still superconscious. Love and wisdom then within the mind is then creative, because with every creation that is divine creation, the basis is love and wisdom, because it's perfect. And the basis of every creation existing is love and wisdom, even the very lowest. So, therefore, after that, ideas come into operation. And these ideas existing with love and wisdom have laws created by them, laws which are forces in operation, infinite laws that cannot be broken And these laws exist all the way down through the various forms existing in the universe, in the higher creations. This is above now, which is invisible. The superconscient is always invisible to physical man. The subconscient is visible. Now we will see here again that here comes ether. These ideas there are in ether now, and as they're created, they come into the physical. This is the division now between the superconscious and the subconscient. All existing below, you see the consciousness carrying with it its love and wisdom and laws, the idea forming right through what we call the subconscient. The subconscient exists as the mineral, the vegetable, the animal, the human, which is the highest form existing in the subconscient. Now I'm going to show you this, that what has been there is there, but this has been conditioned in the superconscious through those various layers of activities, such as the mineral, vegetable, animal, human. Therefore, the consciousness rises to the mineral and takes its effect upon that, to the animal to that, and to the human that. The subconscious is everything that belongs to the law of evolution. It is this power of the consciousness is raising these things up. All the atoms in both these are being raised up by this consciousness because of its effect upon that. Therefore, it changes the vibration of the cell structure, of the electromagnetic vibrations that exist in these planes, and begins to raise them up and changing them, making them finer and finer. As man's consciousness, having then the whole of these in within himself, both the mineral, vegetable, and animal tissue is in your body, the consciousness of God is in man. And the consciousness of God reaches the very bottom of its activities in the lower portion of the spine, where it contacts with these planes of activity through the mineral, vegetable, and animal planes. All the mineral substance in your body, the vegetable substance in your body, are worked into the animal tissue. The animal tissue is affected by the emotions, your thoughts. The whole of your body is affected because the consciousness reflects what it feels. Therefore, if you condition yourself with your own thoughts and feelings, you find that the consciousness is conditioned also and begins to reflect these conditions, causing electromagnetic waves to pass through your body and causing the cells to form according to what you have in your sickness. But all these influences here are for the benefit of man. But the consciousness of man does not know that all these planes are for the benefit of man, for him to raise, to absolutely recognize and become real in himself, free from all conditioning. Therefore, if he didn't know that he was conditioned, he would never know he was unconditioned. Therefore, man begins to do two things. Through his experience, he begins to discern. Therefore, he begins to free his consciousness from these various planes of activity. At the same time, giving them an incentive. And every atom and every cell in these planes become more active in such a way as it becomes finer and finer. And the time will come when the whole of the subconscious will be done away with altogether. It may take millions of years, but nevertheless, that's the progress of man. And in time will come, there will be no superconscient at all. Now you see that there will be no subconscient at all. The superconscient is always affecting the subconscious and raising it up by its influence. And it's done by the consciousness of man, and in no other way. In your body, these planes of activity run horizontal. That is the known. Here is the unknown, the perpendicular. But as these planes exist as one whole activity in themselves, they pass through all our bodies, and we are affected subconsciously through our activity, our consciousness. We are consciously conditioned in these conditions. Therefore, these planes become subconscious in us, but nevertheless affect us. The same activity is taking place in me as in every one of you. The same condition is taking place in every animal in the universe. And what is it that gives man the power over these planes? It is this perpendicular consciousness of man that exists in God. That is his power. And that's the power he has over all other things. When he recognizes that the fact that he has been conditioned, and he knows what the conditioning is, and recognizes the fact then that he has a power, creativeness of his own, above and beyond all that's horizontal. The perpendicular then of man, the consciousness of man, is supreme, in not only in the superconscious, but also in the subconscious and every plane of the subconscious. Daniel in the den of lions was nothing more than a realization of that truth, of the power he had over everything that existed. Thus man's consciousness permeates the whole of his body, yet having its roots in reality, or the subconscious, the totality of all unconditioned consciousness and intelligent energy. Man's consciousness remains free and unconditioned, and exists beyond the confines of his body. Man's consciousness in the body is firstly expressed as will individualized. Then comes the control of the body through the brain and nervous system. First nervous plexus rules the heart, lungs, glands, etc., and all the cranial nerves which are responsible for the transmission of the vibrations of light, sound, and feeling that come from the outer world. Then the consciousness moves downwards into the emotional life of the individual, into the physical and the total activity of the animal, vegetable, and mineral kingdoms, through the lower vitals to the subconscious, in which is the action that is behind all mineral, vegetable, and animal planes of action. Man's consciousness encounters all these, from the superconscient to the subconscient. But man is ignorant of the subconscient action as a beneficent action, enabling him to understand himself and giving him the opportunity to use these influences for his own benefit, having dominion over all things in heaven and on earth, above and below. The lower vital belongs to that part of the body from the solar plexus downwards, which includes animal, vegetable, and mineral kingdoms, which are subconscient in our being. The subconscient means not only the subconscious activity belonging to the individual, but the totality of all activity in the mineral, vegetable, and animal kingdoms. In the animal and through the whole of the animal life, there is one complete mental activity which belongs entirely to the animal plane. The same with the vegetable and the mineral. All animal tissue, including that which makes up our bodies, there is an intelligence that looks after it. This becomes individualized by man when born in this world. Therefore, he individualizes all these things because his body is made up of those things. He individualizes all these influences and become individual to him, to you, but you see there is no separation. Our thoughts and emotions affect the smooth running of this intelligent action, which in itself, being subconscious, is always working for the benefit of mankind. The mineral, vegetable, and animal tissue has an intelligence within it that's always endeavoring to keep itself in repair. But your consciousness can interfere with it. It can send vibrations right through your cells of your body to turn them around and create disturbance in them by your reactions and fears. We have been given dominion over the whole of the subconscious. But if we are not aware of it, we feel all that belongs to it. We grow out of this state through understanding and love. The principle involved in the subconscious has been building up conditions through eons of time. We call this evolution. But these conditions were created for a specific purpose. All inside the infinite, because there can be nothing outside him. All inside the infinite. I said we assume that this is the infinite mind that fills boundless space. So there's nothing evil in the world because it's all within the infinite. There's nothing harmful in the world because it's all within the infinite. And man must see himself that he is harmless to everything in the subconscious, and the subconscious is harmless to him also, then he is free. Daniel in the Den of Lions again. Therefore, spiritual law is above evolutionary law, for the spirit was, in the first place, the cause of law of evolution, and still remains absolute, directing the activities of the evolutionary process which we see in the subconscious. The totality of all creativeness remains eternal, and this we also have our roots. So, spirit is not subject to law, but law is subject to spirit, because law was created by spirit in the first place. Therefore, spirit is not subject to law anywhere. That's why Paul said, man, when he knows himself, he's above the law and he's not subject to the law. When we have the understanding of the law of the subconscious activity underlying our physical organism, it obeys our command. Daniel in the Den of Lions understood this law, and by this very law he closed the lions' mouths. Animals are controlled by the subconscious layer of mental strata which controls the whole animal life. Therefore, if you have control of all of this animal, or what you call instinctive nature that belongs to the whole, you can control all animal life existing. But if you fear a little fly, if you fear a poor little mouse, if you fear that little mosquito that buzzes round your ear, you can never have control of this animal plane. Now, I lived in the East for a long time. I lived in Baghdad, I lived in Persia, I lived through the East for years. I've learned a great deal in that time. And people wondered how I never got malaria, because I never slept under a net. I sleep on the top of the houses, on the roofs, without any net whatsoever. And everybody else would have nets all round about them, but I would have none whatsoever. The reason why? I knew that no malaria mosquito would ever bite me. Therefore, I could never have malaria. I was conscious of the fact that my consciousness was powerful enough to affect all the instinctive principle existing in every animal. Why does the carrier pigeon find its way through the instinct? All the animals are worked through instinct. If you understand the instinctive nature of the animal, he no longer affects you. Why do the masters close the tiger's mouth? Why is it that no wild animal ever come near them or try to do them harm? Because of the fact that they are harmless to them through a conscious awareness of the truth I'm trying to reveal to you. My God, if I could reveal some of the wonderful truths to you, your hair would stand on end because you would hardly believe it is possible, but you have the power within yourselves to do so. Man's consciousness is the ruling power here as in his own realm. Our emotions of fear, hate, anger, jealousy, etc. arise from the subconscious and therefore affect the whole of our body function. Through our senses we learn of conflicting ideas which we cannot correlate. Thus we have a confused mind. So our beliefs, our mental conflicts, affect our organism. Thus the whole of the subconscious within the individual becomes confused. All this individualized portion of the subconscious becomes confused with the individual. Yet, in itself, it's a plane of activity which is natural and perfect. Why is it then that it becomes disorganized? Becomes through your own consciousness, that which gives you power above and below. Man has not yet become consciously aware of his true nature. He knows only what he receives through the senses, therefore knows nothing of the truth of his being. When we understand what the Master says, with this wisdom we allow that which is perfect in itself to manifest through all the planes of manifestation through which our consciousness flows. Therefore, if we recognize that it is the consciousness of God moving through all these planes, moving through the human too, moving through all those planes, consciousness becomes free. The real consciousness of God is never affected by any of those planes because that you believe in fear, you have hate. How are you going to know God? You've never seen him. You don't know who he is. You don't know what he is. And some people say, I know my relationship to God. So I say, what is your relationship to God? Well, I'm his child. Are you his child? How do you know you are his child? How are you going to know your relationship to God? You can only know your relationship to God through your relationship to your neighbor. Isn't that so? That if you discern how you react to your neighbor and what your relationship is to your neighbor, if you discern what it is, if it's self-seeking, if it's anger, if it's greed, if it's selfishness, and all that, that is your relationship to God too. Exactly the same as your relationship to man is your relationship to God. Therefore you want to discern these things. Dissolve them away. And we see how false they are. Then the true that is real will come in. It's self-revealing to understand your relationship to man. Now let me tell you this, which is a truth. Your relationship to your neighbor is your relationship to God. There is no other way. Think it out, and you'll find how true it is. And you will see how stupid you are by acting the way you do. And when you see how stupid you are, then you're on the first step of the ladder to eliminate all these things, and you will reveal yourself to yourself. Spirit consciousness of man is free, and although incarnated in flesh, it is still free. Otherwise, there could never be any freedom. Man can find this freedom for himself through understanding and love. Therefore, the subconscious is not evil in itself. What we do is to attach evil ideas to it, and then begin to fear. But when we begin to understand, we see that it is our own ideas we really fear, and so our thought rises out of the idea and becomes active in our body and circumstances. The subconscious is a means to an end, but not the end in itself. It enables man through awareness and understanding to have dominion over all things. Man, made in the image and likeness of his Creator, has dominion over all things in heaven and on earth. In our next lesson, we will see more clearly how thought compares with radio waves which go out affecting everyone who tunes in to hear. So is man so constituted that the vibrations of thought are transformed by the mechanism within his mind, just as radio sound waves are transformed by the receiving set into words spoken by a broadcaster. Matthew 6:26, look at the wild birds, they sow not, they reap not,